Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihalti. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihalti. Nopijana palaba giribaru dahudre. Gopijana malaba giribaru dahudre. Yasoda nandana braja jana nanjana Yasoda nandana braja jana nanjana Jamuna tira manachare Yamuna te Ramana chalati Jai Hurad Humadava Kunyavigati Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihakti Gopi Nana Vallabha Iti Vadadhati Gopi nana pallava irivadu dhare Yasuna nana prachajana ranjana Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana Jamuna tira panachari Yamuna tira panachari Jai Huradam Padhuva Kunya Vihati Jai Huradam Padhuva Kunya Vihati Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravadakacharya Osatara Sadashi Shimad His Divine Grace Savaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Gosami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Paramse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paravanichananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasiddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindi Kijai Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikapatnath Shayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturidam Kijai, Jagadatha Sami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lasudeva Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta, Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Vol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sadama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivisesha Sanyavati Paschata Dejitari. You can turn the heater off. It's plenty hot in here. I don't know, people turn the heat on and just like wondering if they're coming from Finland and they want a sauna bath. So today we're going to read again from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 23rd chapter, text 3. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm just going to read the Sanskrit and then the translation. And then, anyway, I don't have to read the commentaries of the Acharyas because I did that. And then I'm going to comment on this particular subject matter. So, Prayata Deva Yachanam Brahmana Brahma Vadanaha Asatram Mangirasam Nama Yaste Swarga Kam Yaya. Lord Krishna said, please go to the sacrificial arena where the group of Brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the Angirasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. And actually, I'll just make reference here. Let's see. So I just want to read the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary again. To show the Brahmanas that he does not give mercy to those who do not have bhakti, even though they are endowed with austerity, knowledge, and religious principles, and he gives mercy to those who have bhakti, their wives, even though they lack knowledge and austerity, sent the boys to the Brahmanas. Krishna sent the boys to the Brahmanas. So, Om Ganata Miranda Shaganjana Shlokaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha. So, first I'm going to make some reference to Krishna's statements in the Bhagavad Gita Achaturvarnam Ayashushta Guna Karma Vibhagasha, where Krishna says that one is understood to be a Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, or Brahmachari, or Hasta Vanaprastha Sannyas, according to his guna and karma. Guna means his qualities, karma means his work. And there's no mention there of birth. And then another point is, not from the Bhagavad Gita, but from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savaipum Samparo Dharma Yato Bhakti at Hoksajay, Ohaitaki Apretiyata Yatma Supersedite, that this Krishna consciousness has no precondition. Ahaikutuki, there's no material cause. Apretiyata, there's no stopping Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service. So as far as Krishna conscious activities are concerned, there's no material situation that's more favorable or less favorable for Krishna consciousness. Every situation is equally favorable as long as one has, we're talking about material situations, as long as one has the association of a devotee. That's the real point. So, dealing with this issue of who can be a Brahmin or who can be a guru, which is actually even more important than that, we're going to make some references or even read from an article that was written by two of my godbrothers, actually, together, Giri Maharaj and Nrisinga Maharaj. And they wrote this in reference or in opposition to something that was written by a devotee who used to be part of ISKCON. His name was Krishna Balaram Swami, and it's not my intention to criticize Krishna Balaram Swami. He's a very nice person. I like him very much. He also wrote a book about Ekadashi that is followed by many devotees in ISKCON, and in that book there are many injunctions which Srila Prabhupada never applied, and many devotees after reading that book really got into a lot of ritualism in ISKCON, and for some of them the preaching actually diminished because of that. I remember many devotees after reading that book started staying up all night in Ekadasi, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually an injunction. You should stay up all night in Ekadasi, but some devotees, just in order to stay up all night on Ekadasi, would do material things just to keep themselves awake, because as soon as they picked up the Bhagavatam, they would fall asleep. So they would actually engage. I remember I had one friend who actually was engaged in investments in the stock market, and that kept him awake all night long. So anyway, so he wrote this book, and many devotees really took the book seriously, and it was written from the ritualistic perspective. And then also, he wrote a small pamphlet called Guru Niranaya Deepika, which basically stated, advocated that only a Vaishnava born in a Brahmin family has the right to be a guru, and confer Diksha mantras to his disciples. Of course, there's also a study done by the Shastric Advisory Committee. They're called the SAC in ISKCON. Interesting acronym. In which they established that Vaishnavas are able even to chant the Brahma Gayatri. And for those of you who don't know what the Brahma Gayatri is, if you're initiated, that's the first line. And that's anyway, that's the famous Gayatri that practically everybody knows. Even there's groups, the Gayatri Pravahara, who actually chant it in kirtan. And then, anyway, which is not supposed to be done. But anyway, so the Brahma Gayatri is the first line of the Gayatri mantras. And there's criticism by even some people in ISKCON at present time that this Brahma Gayatri should not be given to women. I don't know if any of you heard about that criticism, but there was that criticism. And so they're establishing Brahma Gayatri, basically, these people who criticize it as something mundane or something just dealing with the material world or just dealing with those who are in the mode of goodness, or those who are men, which is interesting. And so, anyway, so the SAC has come up with a very long paper, which I have not read the whole paper, but there's many references in the paper to establish that the Brahma Gayatri is perfectly spiritual and deals with Krishna and the spiritual realm from different angles of perspective. You can derive different meanings from the Brahma Gayatri, but it's meant to be chanted by Vaishnavas, but Vaishnavas who have qualified themselves with brahminical qualities, like Samo Dhamma Tapakso Cham Shantir Arjivameva Cha, which we mentioned yesterday, Yana Vigana Masti Kyam Brahma Karma Svabhavajam. And Prabhupada insisted that those who were going to do deity worship must actually have be chanting Brahma Gayatri and all the Gayatris. And then you had some people in ISKCON give children the Brahma Gayatri, not following Prabhupada's system. They were in the Gurukula. They would actually give little boys the Brahma Gayatri so they could go on the altar. And that was... that is dealt with also in the SAC paper, which is a very interesting paper, which the GBC is presently reviewing, hopefully. And I know Mother Irwin is watching. That's why I mentioned this. So, anyway, so the author of this particular paper, Guru Niranaya Deepika, which is Krishna Balaram Swami, has a theory that the Brahmins have a monopoly on imparting spiritual knowledge. And so it's important to deal with this particular subject matter because we may run into this, and I have run into it before, so I'm going to give certain refutations which he gives, and which Nrisimha Maharaj gives. And he is also making reference to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's paper, Brahmana O Vaishnava Taratmya Vishayaka Siddhanta. So here's some of the points that this person makes. Okay, it's Krishna Balaram Swami makes. He says, only such perfectly traditionally born qualified brahmanas can act as gurus for human society. That's the first point he makes. And one of the refutations, and also Prabhupada makes this refutation too, in one of the quotes that I recited yesterday. It's not, first of all, there must be proper garbhadan sanskara. That is the ritual of impregnation, which before the parents have a sex life, then there is some, it's not only chanting, but you know, all sorts of fire sacrifices, everything. Prabhupada actually said that before the child, or before the impregnation, the whole village will know about it. It's not some like secret thing like nowadays. You know, people have, of course, an illicit sex life, but the whole village will know about it, and they'll get blessings. We're going to try for a child. And so you're getting the blessings of the Brahmin and everything like that. So that must be performed. And also there's other things, such as the Sanja Vandana, which means like three times a day, you got to do your prayers, tarpana, and the austerities, fire sacrifice. Brahmin is supposed to have a fire sacrifice going in their house continually, basically. I mean, this is the traditional thing. And if a brahmana takes up another occupation, like becomes a salesman or a computer programmer or something, then he loses his caste. So basically, practically all these so-called brahmanas have lost their caste from a material perspective. You know, spiritually, obviously, if someone is Krishna conscious, they can work a job and give the results. Prabhupada said one is working in the factory and giving the results to Krishna, he's as good as a sannyasi or as the brahmachari. So the whole point is to give the results to Krishna. So, but according to these strict Brahminical things, that's they're considered fallen, you know, if they're even a doctor profession. Of course, the doctors originally were actually brahmanas. But especially a brahmana must be, the whole point is a brahmana must be independent in his livelihood. If a brahmana takes a salary for anything he does, then he's considered to be a shudra. And Prabhupada talked about this, how people would come to America from India and go shopping around for employment, right? And Prabhupada, nothing wrong with it. I mean, you got to be practical. But Prabhupada said, you know, this is not like a ritualistic Brahminical thing because it's like someone looking for a master, like dog looking for a master. I don't want to, you know, I mean, we have to be practical. We have to be practical. But it's not like ritualistic, materialistically Brahmin when someone does that. And here's... even if you make a... Here's an interesting statement from the Kurma Purana that he quotes. Gaurakshakam vanijan tata koruka silinaha preshan vardushikams chaiva vipram shudra varacharet. The Brahmins who make a living from protecting cows, engage in trade, become artists, take the occupation of servants, and loan money on interest are no better than shudras. So, of course, in emergencies, a Brahmin can do several different things. But he cannot take the occupation of a shudra. He cannot. He can adopt the occupation of a merchant and buy and sell different things and can take the occupation of a kshatriya. This is actually a quote from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But he cannot engage in any circumstance to become like a dog excepting an ordinary master. Now, that doesn't mean that Vaishnava Brahmins can't do that. Vaishnava Brahmins are transcendental, giving the results to Krishna. If the results are given to Krishna, then one becomes free from any impurities that might have arisen from one's occupation. But that's the whole point. If you don't give the results to Krishna, then you're actually implicated in the impurities. So, of course, and then there's this wonderful verse. Yata kanchanam yati kamsham. Excuse me. Rasa vidamataha tata diksha vidanena dvijatam jayate nrinam. This is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatan Goswami. Just as bell metal is transformed into gold by alchemy, a common man may be transformed into a twice-born man, brahmana, by diksha from a bona fide guru. And Sanatan Goswami also states in his tika, that means commentary to that verse, any person of any status, nrinam sarvesham, if properly initiated with the correct mantra, can become a brahmana. And also, as far as relating to the statement that this particular individual made in the beginning, there's a statement in the Skanda Purana, Kalo Shudra Sambhavat. In Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra. And the Mahabharata states, this is interesting, quote, neither birth, nor samskaras, nor learning, nor progeny are the qualifications to be a brahmana. Only brahminical conduct is the basis for brahminical status. So these are all different verses that corroborate the theme. And the theme is that anybody can become a brahman regardless of what type of body they have. And that's also male or female. It doesn't matter. If they have the qualities, if they exhibit the qualities. And here, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, here's a statement from him. Similar to the Prakriti Sahaja sect, who while claiming themselves to be followers of Sri Rupa Goswami and amass heaps of offenses at the holy feet of Sripad Jiva Goswami, are some modern caste Goswami-type Sahajas who proudly proclaim themselves to be the followers of Chakravarti Thakur. Yet they actually go to hell by using humiliating expressions in regard to the commentator Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana Prabhu on the strength of their Prakriti Sahaja conceptions. Such pseudo-brahmanas try to conceal the statement of the Smriti, and the statement is, a brahmana who instead of studying the Vedas engages himself in any other pursuits, being keen for honors, money, and worldly advantage, becomes a Shudra together with his whole family in this very life. So, this is from the Manusmriti. So another point is that even if a brahmana does brahminical activities and he makes a obligatory payment, he makes the people who he's doing the sacrifice for pay something, then that's also, he loses his caste. At that particular point, I mean, he can accept offerings, yajan, yajan, patan, patan, dana pratigraha, which are the methods that a brahmana can actually engage in his livelihood. That means accepting donations, giving donations, teaching, learning, doing sacrifice, or teaching others to do sacrifices. But otherwise, if a brahmana actually puts out a price list for his activities, you know, I can go over your house and do a Garbhadhan Sanskara or whatever, you know, Namakarana for $50, then the Brahmin has actually lost his Brahminical status. Or if a Brahmin is engaged in illicit activities, I remember in Fiji, the Brahmanas are actually licensed. You have to come from a certain family, and then you can get a license to be a Brahmin. You know, it's actually a government license. It's not just like... Yeah, well, it's a Brahmin. Yeah, it's actually in Hinduism. Yeah, it's a specific thing in Hinduism that the government issues licenses that you're a Brahman. And so I remember, and there's a whole Brahman, just like the in the medical field. I was listening actually to Prabhupada talking about this morning. He was in a morning walk, and he said in the medical field, the doctors actually control who can be a doctor and who cannot be a doctor, because you have in each state, you know, the medical society. And Prabhupada was commenting that they make sure that not too many people can become doctors to keep the price high, which is actually interesting. You know, they limit the amount of people who can go to medical school, which is actually, many devotees have found that out when they try to send their children to medical school. So, when a Brahmin asks for money for something that he does, then he loses his status right there. So it's very strict to be the standard to be a ritualistic Brahmana. Anyway. And then another point that he makes here, which is really a wonderful point, that the standard for being a guru is mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Upadeshamrita. Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Jiva Vegam Udurapashta Vegam Etan Vegam Yovashahita Dhira Savramapimam Prithivimsa Shishat. The sober person who controls the urge to speak, the mind, the urges of anger, the tongue, belly, and genitals is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So this is the real point. You know, someone who controls it by being Krishna conscious. I mean, that's the unspoken point here. But, you know, if you read the whole Upadeshamrita, you'll understand the context in which this verse is. So then that's addressing the first point that Krishna Balaram Swami made. The second point is the conversion of non-Brahmins into the Brahmin order began in the early 20th century by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami to encourage everyone to take the spiritual life. Even though such conversions are accepted by the scriptures to allow one to advance the spiritual life, it does not allow converted brahmanas to function as gurus. It's a pretty heavy statement. And actually, this is a completely fallacious statement, because there are many shastric stories of people being converted to being Brahmins. And of course, one of my favorite stories is that of Viswamitra Muni, how he engaged in so many austerities. Of course, it's not that we have to engage in austerities for thousands of years and succumb to Menaka and everything like that in order to become a Brahmin. But there's a story of Viswamitra Muni, how he eventually became a Brahmin, and he became such a Brahmin. Even though he was born in a Kshatriya family, he became the guru of Lord Ramchandra. And Lakshman and so many other people. And so many people in India now trace their Brahminical status to Viswamitra, their gotra to Viswamitra Muni. And in the Padma Purana, there's a statement by Lord Brahma. It's interesting, so many nice quotes he comes up with here, where Lord Brahma says, if one is born in a family of brahmanas who are absorbed in hearing divine sound but has bad character and behavior, he is not worshipable as a brahman. On the other hand, Vyasa and Vaivandaka Muni were born in unclean circumstances. Remember Vyasadeva? Where was Vyasadeva born? Does anyone remember?
On an island.
You know, he's just like, and who was his mother? Yeah, ostensibly a fisherwoman, Satyavati. Actually, she was the daughter of King Vasu. And King Vasu was missing his wife, and he sent some of the seminal fluid to his wife. It dropped off and fell into a fish. Anyway, that's an interesting story. Let's see if you can do that one. And then she was born, and then, anyway, they opened up the fish, and bloop, they were Satyavati, and she smelled really bad. But anyway, the point is, there definitely wasn't Garbhadhan Sanskar there, and Vyasadeva is accepted as a Brahmin, obviously. Born in unclean circumstances, but they are worshipable. And Viswamitra Muni was born as a Kshatriya, but he became a Brahmana by his qualities and activities. Vashishta was born of a prostitute. Oh, my God. Many other great personalities who manifested the qualities of first-class Brahmanas also took... So this is addressing his statement, Krishna Balaram Maharaj's statement, that this is just a modern invention that was just done by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada to encourage people to take up Krishna consciousness. And then it states, the place where one takes birth is of no importance in determining whether one is a Brahman. Those who have the qualities of a Brahman are recognized everywhere as Brahmanas, but those who have such qualities, and those who have such qualities are worshipable by every... That's from the Padma Purana. In the Sama Veda, you actually have a similar statement. And remember, these Brahmanas, these Vedic Brahmanas, they accept, you know, the four Vedas as sacrosanct. You know, sometimes they may say, well, that's in the Mahabharata, and that's in the Ramayana. Who knows about that? But in the Sama Veda, it states, does birth make one a Brahman? No. This is also not the case. Many great sages have been born of other living entities. Rishi Sringa was born from a deer. Oh, my God. I forgot that one. Kaushika, that's from Mita, was born from kusha grass. Jambuka was born from a jackal. I didn't even know these stories. I don't know that story. Valmiki was born from the anthill. I knew that story. Vyasadeva was born from a fisherman's daughter. Gotama was born from the back of a rabbit. I don't know that story either. Vashishtha was born from Urvasi. And there's a whole story about that, I know. And Augusta was born from a pot. Apart from these personalities, there are many other wise persons born from other castes who became sages. Therefore, birth does not make a Brahman. And that's from the Sama Veda. Wow. And, you know, in recent times, there's many acharyas that were born from different types of families. There's Gadadhar Das Thakur, and these were gurus. Mukunda Das, Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda, there's a whole list here, Rasikananda, Baladeva Vidyabhushan. Wow. Udarana Datta Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gorgashwar Das Babaji Maharaj. He was a grain merchant before. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there's many disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who were not born in Brahmin families, who acted as acharyas, such as our spiritual masters, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And then there's the citation here of two disciples of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who were born in very high-class Brahmin families, and they gave the power of succession to senior disciples who were not born Brahmins. You know, this is amazing. So Yadyada Charity Shreshtasta Tat Advaituro Janaha. As a great personality like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur does, and his disciples, such as Srila Prabhupada, then we should follow in their footsteps. Anyway, there's another criticism here I'm not going to deal with, that he criticizes Prabhupada's family. So I'm not going to get into that one. It's a little painful for me to deal with. And then another criticism he makes, you see, they come up with all these fallacious criticisms. He says that all the translations and purports of Srila Prabhupada were dictated into a dictaphone, and the disciples changed that. You know, can you imagine the disciples in the early days changed that so they become gurus? They weren't even thinking of becoming gurus. I remember the early days. Nobody thought anybody was going to be a guru but Prabhupada. And so they changed what Prabhupada said, you know, so that they would be able to become gurus. And we read a whole bunch of quotes from Prabhupada yesterday that actually are not corroborating that particular point. And another criticism he makes is he says, all these verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita are written in Bengali language. And then he criticizes Bengali. He says, the only time you can actually have like bona fide spiritual knowledge coming, you know, irrefutable spiritual knowledge, is when it's in Sanskrit. And, you know, Prabhupada said even, you know, in English it has the potency. What to speak of, you know, what to speak of Bengali. And Lord Chaitanya spoke Bengali, isn't it? I mean, Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, he knew Sanskrit, obviously, but his discussions with the devotees were in Bengali. So there's something very, very spiritual about Bengali. And these are pure devotees. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writing in Bengali and also quoting Sanskrit verses. He knew Sanskrit very well. And so, you know, he's basically offending so many personalities in our sampradaya to establish his point. And so here's a quote by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Let him be a Brahmin by caste, or let him be a Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra. Let him be a sannyasi according to his ashram, or a brahmachari vanaprastha grit. Let him be situated in any caste of life. He was understood the science of Krishna. This is actually his commentary on that verse. Kiva vipra kiva nyasi shudra kena naiye Krishna tatva veta se guru hoy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary. Because Krishna Balaram Swami said that Prabhupada's commentary didn't follow in the proper line because he was trying to please his Western disciples. Anyway, so the qualification of a guru rests upon the knowledge of the science of Krishna. It does not rest on caste or varna. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur talking. The direction of Sriman Mahaprabhu is not opposed to the scriptural injunctions. By following the purport of this, Sri Vishwambara Maharaj was initiated by the sannyasi Sri Ishwarapuri. Sri Nityananda Prabhu was initiated by the sannyasi Sri Madhavendra Puri Goswami. And Madhavendra Puri was initiated by Lakshmi Pati Tirtha, according to another opinion. Sometimes it says that Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Nityananda, was initiated by Lakshmi Pati Tirtha. And Sri Advaitacharya was initiated by the sannyasi Madhavendra Puri. Sri Rasikananda took Pancharatriki Diksha from Shaimananda, who appeared in a family who were not seminal brahmanas. Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Sri Ramakrishna Bhattacharya, both seminal brahmanas, were initiated by Sri Lanara Tamadas Thakur, who appeared in a family who were not seminal brahmanas. Actually, they were considered like shudras. They were a king family, but they were like kayasthas. Katwa's Sri Yadudandana Chakravarti was initiated by Sri Dasgadatar, was not born in a Brahmin family, even though being a religious-minded hunter, etc., was not even an obstacle for many personalities to become instructing gurus. This is considered to be the proper application of Mahaprabhu's clear injunctions in pursuance of the Vaishnava faith and by the utterance of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 11th chapter, 32nd verse, which is, I'm going to read that. Yasha yal lakshanam prokta pumso varna biv yajakam. Yadava yatrapi drishyeta tatvenaiva vinirdishet, which states, the qualities that divide mankind into castes have been described. Wherever those qualities are observed, then that appropriate caste will be ascertained there accordingly. That's Bhagavatam, which states, caste will not be ascertained by birth alone. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur continues, one who is conversant with the science of Krishna, naturally has the character of a Brahmin, therefore, wherever it is said that anything apart from seminal Brahmana is lower, a concept which has only been introduced in the age of Kali will not do. Anyway, so this is another quote from Bhaktisiddhanta, from the Hari Bhakti, where is this from? Oh, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When it is mentioned in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that if there is a fit person of a higher caste present, then it is improper to accept Krishna mantra from a person of a lower caste. Sometimes people state this. Then this should be understood to be Vaishnavism relative to society. In other words, it is for those who practice family life by the customary rules and who have somewhat of a desire for spirituality. But for those who know the import of Vaidhi and Raghunuga Bhakti and who wish to get pure devotion for Krishna, the rule for them is that in whatever caste or stage of life the suitable knower of the truth of Krishna may be in, he should be respectfully accepted as guru. In the words of the Padma Purana, this is a quote from the Padma Purana, it stated, those who have taken recourse to devotion of Krishna are never to be considered as Shudras, but they are to be glorified as Bhagavatas. Among all castes, those people who are devoid of devotion to Lord Janardana are Shudras. A Brahmana who is expert in the six works and also in the mantras and the tantra should not be selected as guru if he is a non-Vaishnava. If someone from a dog-eater family is a Vaishnava, he may be accepted as a guru, even if one is born in the best of families, even if one is initiated in all the sacrifices and is learned in all the branches of the Vedas. If he is a non-Vaishnava, he is unable to become a guru. Generally, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas should be the gurus of Shudras, but even Shudras can be the gurus of these three castes if they are dear to God. And actually, some of these statements are from the Amrita Pravaha Bhasha of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay. So, those are the different statements. So therefore, getting back to this particular verse that we read today, the wives of the Brahmanas are real Brahmanas. And the other Brahmanas, they're Brahmanas in name only. You understand? So that's the point. Because the wives of the Brahmanas know Brahman, and they love Krishna. And the Brahmanas, they didn't even want to give any food to Krishna. When the coward boys, which we'll read later on in this chapter, when the coward boys asked for food for Krishna and Balaram, they didn't even say Hare Krishna to the coward boys or acknowledge their presence. In the Ananda Vrindavan Champa, which actually goes into more detail in this particular story, they just ignored them. And so as a result, their wives ignored them when their wives went to give food to Krishna and Balaram. So any questions? We have about 10 seconds left. Yeah. For being Brahman. Because the actual point of Brahman is one who knows Brahman. And showing the qualities. What's the definition? One who worship Anyabi Lashita Shunyam Shunya. Anyabi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Navriktam Anukulyena Krishna Nashilanam Bhakti Rutamam. You can look that up.
Diana, They're not even hard to grab a hold for chanting his name.